We're all paparazzi nowadays, aren't we? Well, almost all of us. If you've got a mobile phone, chances are you use the camera on it to capture those special moments in your life, the newsworthy ones, as it were. You may not make a habit of emerging from a nightclub in the small hours, dishevelled but still glamorously dressed, arm in arm with someone you weren't supposed to be with. But even an innocent drink out or a meal with friends demands to be framed and shot and shared on social media. And why not? We all deserve our 15 minutes of fame. And again, if you go anywhere with a tidy view, it's hard to resist the temptation to try your hand at landscape photography. Me? Away from the Rhondda, I'm a sucker for ferries and sunsets. I can't stop myself. I'll snap any number of them, no matter that the sun goes down every day and always in the west. And those ferries ply the same route day after day too. When photography was invented, people said that that would be the end of painting. If a mechanical device can picture things exactly as they are, what's the point of trying to draw or paint them, no matter how brilliantly accurate an artist you may be? It took some time to realise nothing expresses the emotions that a scene evokes like a painting. That sketches can exaggerate features to reveal a person's true character. But then, of course, photographers began to use the camera creatively and expressively too, and the argument between film and canvas, that's what it was, switched to another level again. What's my point? Well, I think that we can all agree that images can move us, whether they're produced by digital pixels, old-fashioned film, pen and ink, or paintbrush and palette. I've spent my working life making TV documentaries, so I know how effective a camera can be. But there's something special about the care that an artist lavishes on a painting or drawing, especially if the image they produce means something to you personally. I was thinking about all of this recently because of a lovely present I was given, a book, Miner's Day. Let me tell you about it. B.L. Coombs, Bert Coombs, worked as a miner in the Neath Valley. He wrote vivid descriptions of life underground in the 1930s and 1940s. His autobiography, These Poor Hands, is seen as a classic, the authentic voice of the collier. His writing is honest, dignified, rather understated, and all the more telling in laying bare the true price of coal, the struggle, danger and hardship the miners faced on a daily basis. A follow-up, Miner's Day, first published by Penguin in 1945, was illustrated by the artist Isabel Alexander. Miner's Day was reissued recently by Parthian Books in a splendid new format. It's a hardback, wide and beautifully printed, with Bert Coombs' text and many, many more of Isabel Alexander's illustrations, drawings and paintings that she made in the Rhondda, most of which have never been reproduced before. It's this book that I'm holding in my hands as I speak to you now. I just turn the pages at random and read you a few sentences. Page 70. Here's Bert working in a collapsing tunnel to repair a roof fall. A huge fat slab dropped, and we saw it as a foundation for some supports. After many furtive dives forward and blind backward leaps, we managed to get four large posts in position, sloping at such an angle that the lowering roof would meet their tops squarely. There was a gap of 8 inches between their tops and the lowest part of the crushing roof, but we knew the space would soon be lessened, so we left the posts, shored up, and waited. Less than half an hour after, the roof had lowered that 8 inches. The posts were holding solid, and the weight was squeezing turpentine from them. 7 times during that shift, the airway was blocked. Each time, we got it clear in time to prevent any stoppage of work. Thrice as often, we had to make that perilous leap over the high wall of piled-up rocks. My arms and shins were shorn of pieces where I'd misjudged the landings. One time, when the whole underground area seemed to be a move, we retreated well back. Thank you. reading passages like that, I understand a lot more about the work that my grandfathers did underground. How messy and tough it was, how dangerous, how skilled they had to be to do their jobs, how sound their judgment had to be, just to keep themselves and their butties alive. As revealing as Bert Coombs' words are Isabel Alexander's drawings and paintings, reproduced throughout the book. Most of them are simple pencil sketches, but they speak volumes. I find myself going back again and again to one particular location, which she draws from several different angles. Look, here it is on page 6, and pages 18 and 19, and again on 29 and 94 and 110 and 132. It's the Naval Colliery, Penygraig, the pit that was directly opposite my childhood home on Tillachailin Road, the pit where my mum's father worked as the colliery blacksmith. Isabel Alexander draws the coal spoil heaps butting up against the terraced houses, the winding gear and the stack, the colliery chimney, the screens for sorting the coal, the concrete slurry tower. And here's the whole mountainside above the navel, the massive black tip of colliery waste looming over Midronda. All of this was my playground when I was a boy. And see, she's even drawn some children using the exposed slopes of the slag heap as a slide, just like my friends and I did 20 years later. I can hardly tear my eyes away from these images. I find them so, so moving. An artist, a talented, accomplished artist, has taken time and trouble to capture my patch, the very spot where I grew up, not by pointing a camera at it for a split second, but by studying its shapes and shades, by lavishing her own creative energies and gifts on it. There it is, in its small details and its larger significance. Isabel Alexander sees it as I saw it as a child, but can never see it again, other than in my mind's eye. But she also sees it as a grown-up, sees what it means, sees what it says about this place, this ravaged industrial wasteland, which I took for granted. It was there every day outside my front room window, but would have been extraordinary and alien to most people. Miner's Day has been edited by the distinguished art curator and historian Peter Wakelin, and he's written a fascinating introduction to the book, emphasising that Bert Coombs and Isabel Alexander did their work because they believed the reality of mining communities had to be placed within the imaginative reach of far more people, and especially those in powerful positions. And that's what Peter Wakelin is doing too. Miner's Day, he says, is as relevant now as it was in 1945. When he was preparing this new edition for publication, Peter Wakelin contacted me for advice about one detail in Isabel Alexander's drawing of the mountain above Penygraig that was puzzling him. I was able to identify it as a line of tall posts supporting electricity cables. I knew about that because of a story from years ago, a true story often retold in my family. In the Depression of the 1930s, two friends from Penygraig, miners, one an ordinary face worker, the other a better off pit deputy, could only find work on the other side of the mountain in a colliery in Gilvach Goch. Walking back home over the mountain one winter's night, they lost their way in a blizzard. Snowblind, they must have tried to use those power lines as a guide to get them home, because that's where their bodies were found, huddled together in a snowdrift at the foot of one of the posts. When the search parties found them, days later, exposure had altered their features. Each was mistaken for the other, and each was taken to the other's house for laying out. Before they were properly identified, the poor collier was already in the bespoke oak coffin intended for the deputy, and so he had the decent burial his own family could never have afforded. (Laughs) Coal Miner's Work Diary. The Drawings of a Fine Artist. A Family Memory of Two Neighbours' Tragic Deaths. A past that's mine, but which I can never experience again with the eyes of a child. A treasure of a book that brings all these things together. I'm John Geraint Roberts. John on the Rhondda.